Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Samach Dalet in Sefer Yeshayahu, the 64th chapter in Yeshayahu. This is a very short Perek of only 11 psukim, and there's really two pieces to it. The first piece runs from Pasuk Aleph to Gimel, and it is actually essentially the continuation of the end of the last Perek. It's talking about the supernatural and undeserving redemption of the nation of Israel. So we have these metaphoric descriptions where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how, like fire burns these meltable substances and burn and bubbles up the water, that's how Hashem will destroy the enemies of Hashem. And the excessive use, the excessive metaphoric use over here is to demonstrate that it's for his name. To show his name, because clearly this is not the quid pro quo what Bnei Yisrael deserve when this is going on. Hashem is being excessive in order to show that this is for his sake that he's doing this. And then he describes, Yeshayahu goes on to describe, the wonders that you did, the awesome wonders that you did were beyond our ability to even anticipate. And you went and you melted mountains in front of you. The Mefarshim debate when this is. The Metzora says this is at Har Sinai. I mean, like, Hashem Baruch Hu, you always went the extra step. And the things that you did, nobody ever heard of, never contemplated. Ein lo ra'asa Elokim zulasecha. No eye saw you a God except for yours. That you're going to do for those who wait for you. What does that last phrase mean in this section? Ein lo ra'asa Elokim zulasecha. An eye has not seen you, God, except for yourself. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Tes, we've actually been focusing on this in Perek Chelek, the last section of Sanhedrin, deals with these types of end of days prophecies. And in this, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that all the Nevi'im, whenever you read any of the prophets, including Yeshayahu, and all their prophecies about redemption, and about vengeance, and about the end of days, it's only referring to the times of Yomos HaMashiach, the times of Mashiach. Just to clarify, that means to say, when Mashiach comes, that's still within the confines of this world. That means to say, we're still living, we're still in this world, it may be supernatural, it may be natural, that's a debate in that very Gemara, but it's still in the confines of this world. The world to come, which according to most of the Mefarshim, adopting the Ramban in the Sefer HaGemul, which is not immediately after death, but it is at a future time in which all neshamas will either enter or not enter, that, the Olam HaBa, is not the topic of the Nevi'im. So when they're talking about all these wonderful things and recompense and Schar and Onesh, it's not referring to the Olam HaBa, because that, Ein lo ra'asa Elokim zulasecha, only God knows, and not even the prophets had access to that. That's how deep it was. This is one of the reasons why, by the way, the Ibn Ezra says that the world to come is not discussed explicitly in the Torah ever. We only talk about, at most, Yemos HaMashiach, the days of the Messiah, for the simple reason is that it's so deep, it's so hard to access, that even 1 in 1,000 people can even barely understand it. So the prophets don't include it in their prophecies. And the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam talks about these ideas and the coming of Mashiach, lots of fascinating topics. And he says, he gives advice, he says, "V'kol ela advarim b'kayotza b'hem, lo yeda adam eich yihiyu ad sheyihiyu." Nobody's going to know what they look like until they actually happen. "Shedvarim stumim heim etzal neviim." These are things which are not cleared even to the neviim. "Gamachachomim ein lohem kabbalah b'dvarim einu." Even the wise, the sages, have no real idea of how it's going to look. "Ela lefiyech rea psukim." We just have to sort of work out what the hints are in the psukim. "Lefiyech yesh lohem machlokes b'dvarim einu." And that's why there's so many disputes. And the Rambam says a person shouldn't spend most of their time doing this. Of course, it's fascinating, it's scintillating, it's curious. It's definitely something which brings up a lot of curiosity. But it's not something a person should spend most of their time doing or investigating. Really, a person should be focusing on the here and now and what they can do in order to get there, not trying to think and contemplate about there. The last section of this paragraph runs from Pasuk Dalet to Pasuk Yud Aleph, and this is really losing hope in exile. This section is introduced by Yeshayahu saying, "Pogata es sois v'oisei tzedek." So you, Hashem, pogata, so to speak, you intercepted or you killed those who rejoiced over you and did righteousness. So it sounds like most of the Mefarshim sound like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you removed the tzaddikim in our sins, and therefore we were left impure, we were left like a worn-out cloth, a dried-out leaf, battered in the wind, because we had nothing to protect us. We didn't have the righteous foundations to hold us. No one's to, they can call you in your name. No one can grab onto your cause because you hid your face from us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we've sunk in our sins. And Yeshayahu now appeals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, V'ata Hashem Avinu, Ata Hashem, you're our father. Anachnu HaChome V'ata Yotzreinu. We're the material, you're our fashioner. Sounds, so this is where, of course, the liturgy on the night of Yom Kippur and the Slichos appears from. U'masa Yodcha Kulonu, we're the work of your hands. Please don't get angry with us. Look at the whole nation. And look, Zion, your cities have been left as deserts, your Migdash was burned down, and all the special places in ruins. Ha'al ele tisapak Hashem, is this not going to be enough for you? Techeshe usaneinu. Are you going to be silent? Usaneinu ad mo'od? How long can you let us and or not answer us for all this time? So it's a very, very sort of intimate and painful cry that Yeshayahu calls out. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One thing which is worthwhile thinking about, and that is why in the world was Hashem removing the tzaddikim? Meaning, they're the last people. They should be at the back of the line. If there's a concern about people doing avodah zarah or doing any averos or not believing, then it should be those people who are wiped out. Why are these ones? So the Chida, Rav Azulai, in his Pirush on Tanakh called Chomas Anach, points out that there is a what the tzaddikim are like. They are, in halakhic terminology, they are called the arev, which means the guarantor. So let's say somebody takes a lot of money in a loan. They will many times have to set up a guarantor that if they forfeit paying back, that person will have to pay back. However, the halacha is that you don't go en Ephraim min arev tchila. You don't get from the guarantor first. Of course, the debtor themselves needs to be collected from first. So he points out that that halacha is not true, he suggests, it says the Chida, based on the Mishnah Lemelech in Perek Chofei in Yechos Malva Velova in the Rambam, that that the idea of not getting from the guarantor first is only when the when he hears his words, Enoke sheyodua sheyachol lifora me'alove b'chol zman. Aviloachi b'kesh orev, da'oz havi ki'ilu hisna she'im yirtze yifra mina orev. Tchila, if that... it is it doesn't apply when he knows he can get from the debtor at any point in time. Meaning to say, when the creditor who's coming to get his money knows at any moment in time he can get from the debtor, then says if there was an agreement that the place of the guarantor would be to pay up even at the same time or perhaps even before the debtor has to pay up, which is a terrifying concept. Which means to say that those who are in leadership roles, in fact, are in more threat because of their responsibility towards the community that they lead in terms of bringing them to the right place, which is a shocking and terrifying idea, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be saying over here. Finally, the last point in this, but just to notice on this perek, is how does it end with this intimate plea? Is there an answer to this? So Malbim points out that in the last prayer, when he says, Techeshe usa'anenu, are you going to keep quiet and answer us? What do you mean? If you're keeping quiet, you're not answering. If you're answering, you're not keeping quiet. So the Malim says, no, by keeping quiet, you are answering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By not responding to us in our to moments of pain, it is as if you're giving credence to the situation that we're in and the rejection that we had, that other people say we have had from you. And therefore, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't answer us by not answering us. That's what the Malim suggests. And in fact, that's what leads into the response of Hashem, which is actually the next perek, which is Perek Samachai. We'll start off there next time. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.